Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, everyone. This is Mickey Desai. Happy to be your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. On the line recording with me today, Shay Kasul. Is that right? Did I get that right that time?
You did. Thank you, Mike.
Excellent. Yes, good. You're the CEO of the Center for Social and Environmental Stewardship. Is that right?
It is.
And we've only talked briefly about your role there online, and I'm very curious to ask you, the most present question I've got is, how goes your operations during times of pandemic? Are you seeing much in the way of, you know, change in service delivery, income, things like that? And how are you navigating those changes?
Absolutely. So our two main focuses for the center are for juvenile justice. So that has changed pretty dramatically in that our young people that are involved with us, so they don't go to juvenile hall, are now engaging in services through digital means, Zoom, phone calls, et cetera. But they're continuing to work with us and fulfill their obligations. And then on the other focus is vocational rehabilitation, and that's mostly outdoors. So we are continuing to work in a distance manner. And so that really has not affected us too much. You know, initially things slowed down pretty good as we tried to figure out how to safely move forward with this. But on that side, what we do is we have our young people out in the community doing paid programming and helping to do community efforts while they're learning vocational skills that they can use to then launch into life.
Right. I'm getting way ahead of myself with that question. Let's back up for a second and explain to folks exactly what the center does and how long you've been in business and, you know, how you do things under normal circumstances. Let's say that.
Absolutely. So we've been in business since 1976. Originally, we were called Circuit Rider, and we actually are going back to that name because we changed our name about 14 years ago. And as you just experienced, it's somewhat of a mouthful. A circuit rider is somebody that rides a circuit in a rural community and provides much needed services like a judge, doctor, lawyer, etc. We are a very rural community out here in Sonoma County, California. And so our main focus is keeping kids on a positive track, young people on a positive track. So as I said, juvenile justice, we have our VISTA and ART programs, which are programs based on the more severe cases of young folks in our community that have some pretty serious challenges with the law, and then some more moderate individuals. And we work with them essentially to redirect them in a positive way so they can finish their probation, not go back behind bars, and to hopefully walk away with some skills that they can use in later life, not just to, you know, stay out of the justice system, but we like to say that we teach all the things that you should have learned in high school, like, you know, how to balance a checkbook, you know, plastic isn't real, talking about, you know, how to manage what you're eating in a healthy way, and then, of course, preparing them for the work world as well, and putting together resumes and, you know, doing some career exploration. And then on the vocational side, we have a year-round crew that's young people 18 to 25, and then a summer crew that's open to high school youth that can get a work permit. And what we do is we pay $15 an hour, and these young people go out in crews and do C-27, which is a contractor's license kind of work. It's considered landscaping, so after 3 years, they can actually apply for their own contractor's license and, you know, get their name on the side of the truck and start their own business if they wanted to. But we go out and we do green landscaping, you know, dry landscaping. We do ecological restoration and a lot of fire fuel management. In Sonoma County, we've had two major fires in the last 3 years, a flood recently as well, which is quite interesting, and now, of course, COVID. So unfortunately, we're getting very good at pivoting when it comes to these disasters. But the fire piece has been a huge one for us as we try to keep our community safe. And we see this rise in need for fire fuel mitigation, which hopefully our young people can go on to do in a more professionalized manner with their own businesses.
Right. And it would be an interesting tangent to go down, but let's, fire fuel mitigation, in my mind, that's getting rid of dead wood and getting rid of getting rid of the fuel, right? So if there is a spark, there's nothing for it to light.
Exactly. And it's also seeing what's, you know, a native species, what's not, what will kill a tree, what won't. You know, everything under 6 inches, well, that's a pretty like hot fuel to burn. Cut that down. But if it's bigger than that, do you really want to spend the time and working on that, because it's not going to burn very hot? It's a surprisingly technical field that I'm still learning a lot about. But thankfully, we have some folks on staff that really know what they're doing and can teach these young people these skills.
Right, right. It sounds like you guys have a lot on your plate to think about on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's you know, every day is different, especially as you know, in the time of COVID. But through the fires that and the floods that we've experienced here in Sonoma County, we've really started to connect a little more with nature in our county and understand what the needs are of our natural world and how we can kind of work with it in the urban interface. That, you know, as far as how can we make things safer for our homes, and, you know, make Mama Nature a little happier in the process.
Right. How do you set all this up just from the other side? I mean, I'm getting a picture of what you guys do programmatically with your juvenile population and the communities that you try to serve. But what's the other end of the shop look like? How is it managed? How do you do your fundraising, that kind of thing?
So it's somewhat of a strange program. When I started, we hadn't had a fundraising program in 14 years. So we've just started to do some grants and fundraising, but it was mostly based on contracts and fee for service.
That noise you heard was my jaw hitting the ground.
Yeah, exactly. To set some perspective, you know, in 95, we had 168 employees with work crews all over Northern California. When I took over, we had 9 employees, owned 2 very large properties, and a county that is in the top 10 for expensive counties in the United States. And our impact had lessened a little bit. And so we're going back into that renaissance of what we used to do under the Circuit Rider name, the crews being more active and these young people having a larger impact. So we've grown, we've more than doubled our budget in the last 2 years under my leadership on our new board. And really are trying to have a broader impact for our young people and our community, because we were sleepy for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the fundraising side, you know, it's more on the kind of sales and contract side, because our nexus is going out to, you know, municipal governments, county governments, going out to private large landowners or developers and saying, hey, you're going to have to pay somebody to do these jobs. Why not put money in the pockets of foster youth, probation youth, at-risk youth, so that they can learn a skill that our community desperately needs while you're getting the job that you need done at the same time? So that's kind of been an easy sell, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because that is a need in this community, and especially when it comes to fire fuel mitigation, there is not a contractor that specializes in that in this community. Thankfully, we have a lot of folks that are really concerned with environmental restoration and green landscaping practices. So that's a very vibrant part of what we do as well. But when we go up against a private firm and we say, well, you know, this foster youth is going to need housing, and he's going to need food, and he's going to need to make money to do that, and this is a program where he has chosen to engage in to improve his life, people just love that.
Yeah. So in the notes that you last sent to me when we last spoke was the hope that you could get some funding together to start that general contracting business. Am I understanding you correctly? You have not yet done that?
We have not. So as I said, we have our C27 landscaping contractor's license. However, contractors in our community are you know, really needed right now. We lost 6,000 homes 3 years ago in a fire. We lost another couple thousand in the most recent fire last year. And so we're experiencing a like massive need for tradespeople and contractors in our community. What I would love to see is the ability to hire a contractor on, which in our community is very expensive right now, and get our young people out there helping to rebuild our community from fire and flood, putting some money in their pockets and learning the skills that not only can they make a great living, but our community needs. So I'll give you a quick example. Previously, I worked at our local Habitat for Humanity affiliate, and the two young people that I had working on our job site. One left our, they're both AmeriCorps members. One left our AmeriCorps and immediately got a job making $45 an hour as a heavy equipment operator.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the other young man gave us another year of service as a staff member. So as an AmeriCorps, he was 12.5% of the American, the area median income. And when he left Habitat, got a job with a local contractor and is now at 125% AMI. So these young people, if they can learn these skills with their hands, they come out of it making very good money, helping our community with no debt. I mean, it really is something that I think we need as a culture of bringing back tradespeople, but we particularly need here in Sonoma County.
Right. I imagine that's difficult. Sonoma County is or I immediately want to take that back now that I've said difficult, because on the one hand, living in an expensive part of the world should facilitate things. And on the other hand, living in an expensive part of the world also makes things expensive. But you know, you've got, I think, a really good design, and I'm happy to hear about it, you know, you talking about it in terms of cultural change as well.
But it is very hard for young people to live in this community because housing is, as I said, within the top 10 counties of expense to live in the United States, especially for, you know, foster youth, probation youth, youth that come from abject poverty. They, A, have a hard enough time finding somebody that will rent to a 22-year-old, and then B, have a very hard time affording it, of course. So as I said, we own two huge properties here in Sonoma County, one of which is very underutilized. It's 1.1 acres right off the downtown of a town called Windsor with great walkable space and access to public transit. And what we're proposing is to build 17 units, 32 beds for our young folks so that they have a safe place to lay their head at night while they're learning these skills. And essentially this will be an incubator so that they can work for us for a year or two till they get proficient enough that they can launch into the community and get these higher paying jobs in the trades that, you know, our community needs to rebuild.
Right. And just to be clear, you're talking about building essentially a dormitory or a set of dorms and not just a shelter. Is that an
accurate description? No, we're talking about building an apartment. Yeah, an apartment building.
An apartment building will have
two bedrooms, yeah, their own bathrooms and a shared living space and kitchen. But the other piece, of course, is that it is very expensive to build in Sonoma County now because everybody wants to.
Right. Yeah, of course. Man, well, I'm glad to hear you at least, you know, keep chiseling away at the stone there and making progress. And I let's circle back to the issue of pandemic. We started off this conversation talking about how pandemic has changed the way you operate, and has it changed your fundraising picture at all? What can you say about that?
Well, our fundraising picture is changed pretty dramatically as we didn't do it previously. But our focus has always been on, you know, expanding our quality of offerings for our vocational programs and for our juvenile justice programs. My big thing for our juvenile justice piece is that I really want to focus on these kind of extracurricular experiences that these young people would never have. And I'll take a step back and kind of say a piece about myself. My father was born in abject poverty in Puerto Rico, born onto a dirt floor, 9 brothers and sisters, no running water, no electricity, came to this country, was immediately involved in a life of gang violence. And for him, he entered a very similar program to what I do now that opened his eyes to the possibilities and what was on offer in the world. And that's something that I really want to offer to our young people. We just took them to the Academy of Sciences in San Francisco, which was, you know, a fantastic experience for these young people that some of them had never been to see the Golden Gate. We live less than an hour from the Golden Gate. To set the paradigm, when I started at this program, we took 11 of our probation youth to the beach. We live 20 minutes from the beach. Not a single one of these 11 kids, you know, 14 to 18 years old, had ever been to the beach before.
Whoa.
And so giving these young people that open and, you know, exciting experiences of like, this is what's on offer in the world. You know, you just got to put your nose to the grindstone and you got to behave yourself. And if you work really hard, this is something you can continue to experience. And for them, that's been a really special moment. And it's special for me to share with it because obviously, I, you know, as I said, I have a personal connection. But just last year, we had our first graduate from our more intensive program for youth that have had some serious issues with the juvenile justice system. So he graduated 11 years ago, and he came by just to check in with us and tell Juan, who runs that program, what he's doing with his life. And, you know, his whole family was gang involved. Most of the males are either incarcerated or not living anymore. And he has a beautiful family, has started his own business, and is not gang involved, and it has launched into a very successful life. And he says that that summer working with us really was what changed his life and pivoted in a positive direction.
Amazing. And just amazing work. I mean, I have several different thoughts, not the least of which is I used to work for my own Habitat affiliate here in Atlanta. It makes me want to pick up a hammer and come join you.
Absolutely.
Shay, this is fantastic. If a listener wanted to call you up and learn more about the center, the Circuit Riders, how would you suggest they get in touch with you?
They can go on our website, cfses.org, and they can go to our about page, find and email me, or if they have a more programmatic question, the program heads directly.
Got it. I may delete the phone number just because I'm not sure we want that out in the open public unless you really.
Absolutely. let me give you my email then.
Yes,
my
please.
My email is Che, C-H-E, period, Casul, C-A-S-U-L, at C-F-S-E-S.org.
Che, I really appreciate this conversation, and I hope we can circle back at some point and learn more about your progress and your successes. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you for taking the time as well and for getting the word out. You have a good day.
Yep, you too. To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode. We invite your support of our efforts via Patreon. Please find us at patreon.com/nonprofitsnapcast. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.